All right, so tonight, the topic that we're going to be going over, or for those that don't know me, I'm James. I'm one of the elders here, and occasionally I get the privilege of being up here scared just like anybody else and go over a topic of God's Word. So today's topic is going to be a discussion about once saved, always saved versus lose your salvation. So you know I love bringing up the easy topics. So before we get too much further into this, I got to pray. So Lord Jesus, thank you for just being our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for being with us at this time as we go through this discussion. And I pray that you open our minds and hearts to your will and reveal a new truth that we may not have known about you, Lord. And have patience with me and have love for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so for those of you that need to have a Bible open, I'm going to be going through a lot of verses, but the core verse will be in Matthew 22, if you want to open to there, but it'll be a little bit before we get to there. The reason why I picked this topic, well, first, I was somewhat challenged. You know who you are. But also for my own growth. When this topic came up, it was, hey, you know, I've vaguely heard about this discussion. It's good for me to grow more and understand and at least see what that discussion is that's out there. And also to help me be prepared in the future in case somebody else asks me this question, you know, because it's a question that's out there. Tonight's discussion is going to be in three parts. So the first part is I'm going to go through verses that it seems like everybody agrees with on both sides. And then I'm going to go through and explain the controversy or the two main groups. And then the third part is I'm going to do my best to show God's love and Jesus' love through all of this. So, now this is a big topic that's been debated for over 500 years, and it continues to this day. And so I'm going to be reading a variety of verses, so I'm going to be bouncing around, but hopefully I won't go too fast or too slow. So let's go through the things that we agree upon. And basically, this is a salvation question. So how one becomes saved. So the first verses will be in Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. And this is the way I label it. This is what God does for us. So start with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that's a verse that we're all pretty familiar with, and both sides seem to agree with that. The next one is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's a verse that, you know, God did everything, but we have a response that we need to repent. So that's a verse that relates to all of us, that we need to repent. So then the next one is a very familiar one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So again, there's a part for us that we have to believe in him. And that's something everybody's in agreement with. Now, this next part, there's just too many verses, so I'm just going to list the topics, and we can all research, you know, you can research that later. But as a person, we need to build a relationship with God by praying to him, studying his word, seeking out other believers to discuss how to better know and love God. And then the final verse is Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so that's a combining of both us and God, that our job is to not be conformed to this world, and then we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that's the Holy Spirit and God working in us. So that foundation there seemed, from my looking up things, everybody agrees with that perspective of salvation. Now, before we get on to the kind of discussion about the tension between the two sides, I want to introduce a concept that Dr. Jerry Root, who is a professor at Wheaton College and a C.S. Lewis expert, he gave this illustration that really helped me as I progressed through understanding this. So he made this statement: all truth that we know can be plumbed more deeply. It can be applied more widely to questions we haven't yet begun to ask yet. We hold any given truth with an open hand because truth needs to be held with a level of humility, curiosity, to understand more deeply and wonder. So it's the open hand concept. So he gave this example. So what is this? It's a pen. How do you know that? You had to examine it. You had to look at it, recognize some characteristics about it. But there are a lot of things that you need to put more work into it. Like, does this pen write? What does it write on? What does it write with? What are all of its purposes? What's it made out of? Where did it come from? You know, so I mean, there's lots of truth about this pen that you can ask more and more and more and more and deeper and deeper and deeper questions about a simple pen. And so the same concept applies to studying God's word, that you can't just stop and it's done. You go, oh, there's a truth, and you move on. There's a depth to it. And so I had to keep that in mind as I went through this study, because, you know, we're talking about two different sides there. Another way that Jerry Root explained this is, I have an image of God. I read the Bible. I heard a sermon. I read a book. I have discussions with friends. As the pieces of the puzzle come together to make that may take my breath away, some truth that comes together, it's like, ah. But I might get to the point that I just hold on to that truth and stop examining it. And at that point, that truth becomes an idol. And the way Jerry Root says is to keep your truth open so you can always be examining it, always sharing it with others. Keep it open so that you can plumb it more deeply, as he calls it. So take that with what I'm going through. This is going to be a brief overview. There's a lot of depth that I'm not even going to be able to get into. Okay, so on to the two sides. Now, these two sides, as I said, it was over 500 years in the making. And there are kind of two camps. So one of them is the Calvinist, and the other one is the Arminian view. So I'm going to give you a little background on that. Okay, so Calvinism, they have the stance of once saved, always saved. And for those of you that like big words, I'll give you their quote. Unconditional election and irresistible grace, men and women do not have the free will to ignore God's calling. So that's a stance that Calvin has. Now, it came from a gentleman called John Calvin. He was born in 1509, and he was a French theologian reformer. So, as I said, this is over 500 years that these discussions have been coming out. And some different churches that hold the Calvinist perspective are the Presbyterians, Reformed, or Reformed Church, United Church of Christ, Protestant Reformed Churches of America, Reformed Baptist. So there's a variety of churches that hold this statement as a part of their values. So again, we're talking 500 years, people looking through this, and one group definitely holds it. Now there's a strength from this view, and that is you have an assurance in salvation. It is solid. You got it. But a weakness that comes from this is that some can misunderstand this to mean that my actions do not affect my salvation. They could take it to an extreme that I'm saved, I'm done. So that's a weakness that can come from holding this position. And an example, so I talked about this topic with a variety of different people. And one of them told me, well, I'm a member of the Lutheran Church, therefore I'm a Christian. And you don't see anything else in their life other than that statement. So I got some verses here that... They're not all the verses, obviously. I'm just going to do a few verses that support the Calvinist view. So Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. So that they take that verse and go, you're sealed. Once you make that commitment, you're sealed. So once saved, always saved. The next verse that is referenced is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So again, reconciled, that is, you've gone through and you're done. It's been reconciled. It's been accounted for. And then the third verse I have is Romans 10, 8 through 11. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart of one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So again, once you make the confession, you will be saved. So, what do the Arminians have to say about this? Because obviously there's scripture that support what Calvin came up with. Well, the Arminian, and hopefully I'm saying that right, came after and in response to Calvin's statements. And they say that you may lose your salvation, and that is, resistible grace, the salvation that can be potentially lost. Now, I don't think that the loss that they're talking about is like losing your keys. It's not a, you didn't misplace your salvation. That isn't what. I believe that it's more of that you intentionally walked away or fell away. You made a conscious decision is what they're talking about. It's not just a lose something. It was intentional. So the history of this, it started with Jacobus Arminius, he was born in 1560, and he was a Dutch theologian and pastor. Some examples of churches that follow this are the Pentecostals, the Methodists, and some Baptists. Now, a strength that I find as a strength is that people who follow this perspective don't want to lose it. And so they must continue with their walk in the Lord, examining themselves on a regular basis to ensure that they are walking with God and that it's all about building that relationship with God. That is the strength of the Arminian view, is that the salvation is a relationship. Now, the weakness of that is that the extreme version is you don't feel an assurance that you have to continue that walk with God to the end. It can eventually get to the point that you feel like it's work, that you need to have that relationship instead of wanting that relationship with God. So a couple of examples I have of that is, again, talking with some Christians is, if I commit any sin, I could lose my salvation. So Jerry Root, of course, I keep talking about him today. His example was when he was younger, he was told that going to the movies was bad, going to the movie theater. And that if the Lord came while you were in a movie theater, you would be passed over because the Lord wouldn't go into the movie theater. So, you know, that's that extreme side of you can lose your salvation just by one misstep at the wrong time when the Lord comes. And then there's also another kind of example. There's a guy named Dan Barker. He was a former evangelical pastor for 19 years, and he denounced Christianity in 1984, and he's a current co-president at Freedom from Religion Foundation. So here's somebody that for 19 years pastored a church and then changed his mind and said, I don't want any of this anymore. So let me go through some three verses. So the first one is 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I deliver to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So again, this is talking about you may wage the good warfare. So it's a continual, long-term battle, if you will. And that those that walk away or reject it, there's a couple examples of those that obviously were with them and then walked away. And then 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. So again, this is another example of someone that came to the Lord and then got entangled in the world and was overcome. And then the third one is Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that last one kind of goes back to the Dan Barker, that he was a pastor for 19 years and then walked away. And, you know, God will say, I never knew you. So if you listen to some of these verses on both sides, one thing that is common, and this is the third point that I'm going to make, is that there are parts that are relationship. I never knew you was the last one. So what we're really talking about isn't exactly once saved, always saved, lose your salvation. It is a relationship, and that relationship is with God. So I'm going to go to, what does Jesus say about relationships? Now that takes us to Matthew 22, 35. So we're going to read that. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this is like the foundation we're talking about. That if these are the two greatest commandments, to love God and love others, then we're talking about a relationship. And whether that relationship is, let me get into my example. So let's think about relationships even in the world. That any relationship is between two people. To have any kind of relationship, I mean, it can't be one person and nothing else. A relationship is between two people. And for that relationship to work, both people have to be involved in building that relationship. It can't do it on its own. And so if we think about let's do like a marriage. So with a marriage, if you have two couples come together and they say, I love you. And so then they get married and they're committed to that relationship. Now we know in our society that that relationship will only last if both sides are contributing to that relationship. Without both sides contributing, the relationship will eventually die. And so in the world here, that relationship can fall apart by just one, or it could fall apart if both walk away. Now, one thing that we have, the assurance that the Calvinists have, is that God won't fail. God loves us no matter what. So if the relationship between us and God fails, it's not God. Because He is always there. He's building that relationship. Basically, Jesus is always faithful but we're the ones that aren't. And what we have there is Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For Jesus himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we have this relationship between God and us, and we have the assurance of God. He is always there for us, and all we have to do is have a relationship with him, and that relationship will remain. So this went pretty fast. But anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and close this by trying to bring everything that I said together. So again, this is my understanding. First of all, God provided the way for salvation for everyone by Jesus, but only those that accept the free gift will receive it. And that accept is something that we kind of gloss over. That accept is the love God, build a relationship with God, and continue that relationship. And he wants to have that relationship. That's the awesome thing about our God, is that he wants that relationship, and he is always ready and waiting for us to have that relationship with him. Now, for Christians, we know that God won't let us go. We have that assurance, because God is always faithful, but we have a part that is ours. And we get this from 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. So we're to examine. We're to, you know, go back to what Jerry Root said. We're to keep plumbing, keep building, keep looking. Don't just go, I've got it and I'm done. This is a continual examine yourselves and test yourselves. And then it continues, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So again, we have the assurance of God, but we have our part of maintaining that relationship. We need to examine ourselves. Now, for the non-Christian, we know that God is long-suffering. We got that from 2 Peter 3. That God is not willing for any to perish, but all will come to repentance. So that is where God is so wonderful, that even when we turn our back to him and walk away, he is still there waiting for us to come back and have that relationship with him. He wants that relationship, but he's also not going to make you have that relationship. He's going to be faithful to his part, but he still wants us to choose him. Now, another point that we heard before is that some people may appear saved, but may not be. Only God knows the hearts of each person. Now, I kind of put that in there because one thing that the Calvinists say is, like Dan Barker, is that he was never saved, because their position is either you're saved or you're never saved. There's no in between. But the Armenians will say, well, you can be saved, but you can choose to change your mind and walk away. You can end that relationship. Just like in a marriage, in our broken society, people choose to walk away. Again, it's not a I lost my keys kind of thing. But we don't know. As an individual, I don't know which of those positions is true, because there's verses that kind of support both sides. But what I do know is that anybody, and I only know myself, if I have that relationship with God, I have that assurance. I have that assurance if I have that relationship with God. He has said his side, and I just need to have that relationship with him. And I can't tell somebody else whether they were a pastor for 19 years and then walked away that they were never saved. I can't tell that from the outside, because that's a heart thing. And we know that people can fake it for 19 years, but do they? I don't know. So I implore you, keep that relationship with God. Okay, so I'm going to conclude with some final bullet points. Truth with an open hand. Hopefully you can, that's something to think about. Keep truth with an open hand, always examining it, getting depth from it, talking with others about it, reading about it, studying it. When you think you have something, be willing to talk to other people about it to make sure that there's not more depth there, because there probably is. Love God. He loves you. That's a good one. Love others. Now, that's a tough one, isn't it? Okay. But we'll do it anyway. We'll love others. Build and maintain those relationships. It's really important, because you may be the only light to the people around you. And so maintain those relationships, because that's also an example of that relationship you have with God. The relationship you have with other people can be plumbed more deeply as well as that relationship with God. So don't give up on those relationships, whether up or vertical. Examine yourselves. That's pretty clear. And then God is always faithful. He never fails a relationship. When you're in that dark, miserable place, that is an assurance that you have. You can always turn to God. He is always there, and He is always wanting that relationship. And He's not going to fail in that relationship. Okay, so that was a big topic. Went a little bit faster than what I thought, so I must have been a little nervous. But anyway, I would love to discuss this topic, any truth about God. I don't know everything, but I do know that God is faithful and that He loves me and He loves you. And that relationship is always there to be had. So, okay, it looks like we're going to get out a little bit earlier, but that's a good time to have relationships. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. The worship team can come up. And Lord Jesus, I thank You so much for just being with us. I thank You for helping us to understand Your truth. And I pray, Lord, that we don't, that we maintain that relationship with You. I pray that we will seek You out, examine You, examine ourselves, question You, question ourselves, and to be able to plumb Your truths more deeply, Lord. Help us to just give all truth to You and understand Your truth, and help us to build this relationship with You. Help us to build relationships with others, Lord, and pray that all of this is a light of Your truth. And just pray for this gathering. In Jesus' name, amen.